One of my top lessons is that it's a marathon and not a sprint. Change takes time, and we need to be prepared to shift our approaches, and we need funders who are willing to allow that time.
A good chunk of our process was listening to our community. We didn't just crunch quantitative data and spit it out into a report.
The pandemic has certainly has brought a lot of pain points to the forefront. And so there is a tendency to try to do things quicker and maybe not to the scale that you would want to do. Stick to your guns and do it right.
Hello, and welcome to the Richmond Fed's Rural Spotlight Series. We use Rural Spotlights to showcase how rural communities across the 5th District are addressing the challenges they face. We hope that you gain inspiration and insight from the lessons learned discussed in today's conversation.
Hello, my name is Sierra Latham, and I'm a senior research analyst with the Regional and Community Analysis Team. Today, I'm joined by Jennifer Wilsey, who is Director of Housing for the New River Valley Regional Commission, or NRVRC. NRVRC is a regional development organization that serves Giles, Montgomery, Floyd, and Pulaski counties, the city of Radford, and 10 towns located within the four counties. Jennifer is joining us today to talk about NRVRC's recent housing study. The housing study was a multi-year joint effort by NRVRC, the Virginia Center for Housing Research at Virginia Tech, and Housing Forward Virginia. The housing study resulted in a detailed analysis of the region's rental and ownership housing markets, 7 regional policy strategies, and complementary local strategies. Jennifer, welcome to the show today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So we wanted to get started by filling in some background. What major developments related to NRVRC's housing study have occurred since we last published the Rural Spotlight in June?
Shortly after the housing study was finished and published and released into the world, we had a state funding partner, one of the partners who had helped fund the housing study in the first place, put out a new grant program for regional planning organizations centered around housing development. Since we had recently finished our plan, that was the first place we went back to look at the strategies that came out of that study. We decided that what we would be able to get a lot of momentum behind and what had a lot of need and data backup was to pursue the creation of a regional housing trust fund. We thought that the way to accomplish the grant funding program that was just released is by first creating this trust fund, using the grant dollars to feed that fund, and then be able to pilot the trust fund program in our region and see how successful we can make it for the region, and then look towards sustainably funding that program on an ongoing basis. To step back and define a trust fund, we were just considering it a locally controlled pool of funds that would be yet another funding source for affordable housing work in our region. It takes a lot of layers of funding to make affordable housing happen.
So it sounds like the Housing Trust Fund is going to be a sustainable source of funding to fund multiple housing projects throughout the NRVRC region. Is that correct?
That's the ultimate goal. What I love about this pilot approach is that before we have to get into the tougher conversations about how do we generate these sources of funds locally to fund the trust fund, we get to pilot it with these grant dollars. It gives us a chance to bring everybody to the table, work out all of the details, do a test run, and then hopefully show success, which then will make folks feel more comfortable contributing to the fund. We're looking at an approach that would hopefully solicit dollars from our local governments, from private corporations, from our big universities. Radford University and Virginia Tech are both located in our region. We have 2 large healthcare institutions and then a lot of major employers.
Great. I know that having an evidence base is really a strong way to argue in favor of a new project. So that sounds like an excellent approach. Getting back to the housing study, what does success look like at the end of the day?
Any planner goes through what is usually a lengthy process to collect data and build strategies and get stakeholder input. For me, a successful plan is something that actually then catches fire, so to speak, in a locality. There is some momentum to take some of the strategy recommendations and move them forward. our role at the Regional Commission is to convene the right people in the room to identify what the strategies are. But a lot of times the implementation then happens with different partners. It happens at the local governments themselves or in some other group of partners. To see forward progress because a community got excited about what strategies were before them and felt like they had a path to move forward, that's the most exciting and highest measure of success. The opportunity to move forward with the Housing Trust Fund is one of those examples. We also have two local governments that are moving forward with the creation of a community land trust, which is another tool in the toolbox for affordable housing in our area. One of those localities does have a history of a strong role of housing in the region, but the other is newer to the game, which is really exciting that they're stepping forward to take on this initiative. The Regional Commission also received an additional grant to be able to move forward with some public-facing housing education work. We're going to try to do a video media-based campaign that complements the trust fund work.
That's really interesting. I was going to ask, and I'm glad you brought it up, about the fact that it's not just the Regional Commission that's acting on the strategies that came out of the study, but also local governments as well. So it's really exciting to hear movement on both fronts. So what aspects of the New River Valley community made the study successful and made it possible for you to kind of move from the ideation phase into the execution phase?
From a couple of different angles, the level of relationships that are happening in our community really played into the success of this process. I'll unpack that a little bit. As a regional organization, we typically play sort of a convener role in a lot of things. If we didn't already have good relationships with not just our local governments, but all types of partners throughout the region, I feel like it would sort of be similar to putting out a birthday party invitation and no one shows up. We've been putting in years of trust building and showing success across a lot of the projects that we do. And we had learned from a past planning process that a two-prong approach for stakeholder guidance and input worked really well. We have a smaller, tight-knit group that is still representative of our regional partners, but they function more as a working group, getting more into the weeds with us, and we met more frequently. And then we assembled a much larger group that we only brought together quarterly in order to keep them up to date, allow them to provide feedback, but also to allow them to be advocates for us throughout the region. So sort of those cheerleaders for us. And then we assembled an in-house team that we built by partnering with the Virginia Tech Center for Housing Research and Housing Forward Virginia. Those two groups played really pivotal roles in working alongside the Regional Commission, not just handling tasks, but also building capacity within our organization around data collection and analysis and all those things that make a really strong final product. So I loved being able to work as a team together.
When we were writing the Rural Spotlight article, one of the things that really impressed me was how involved your coalition was from the inception of the housing study. You didn't just kind of present them with data at the end and hope that they understood. You really wanted them to be involved in understanding what the data that they were looking at meant and how they could use it. And so I think that all of the efforts that you made and kind of involving them in every step of the process really speak to the success of the study. Would you say that that's correct, or is there something else that I'm missing?
A good chunk of our process was listening to our community. We didn't just crunch quantitative data and spit it out into a report. We presented it to them and asked them to respond to that and say, how does this sit with you? Does it resonate? Do you feel like there's a different experience your community is living? Those community by community listening sessions that we did played a direct role in our strategy recommendation for them. A unique component of the housing study is that it was not just at a regional level. There were tailored strategies for each of our localities. Some of the strategies varied greatly from community to community, and that just helped to showcase how different everybody is, even though we share some similar struggles and challenges. Hopefully that also plays into future success, just because they felt like the strategies that came out of the study were created because somebody heard what they had said.
And that really speaks to the power of taking a multifaceted approach and using and valuing qualitative as well as quantitative information and making your decisions at the end of the day. So I think we're coming to the end of our time. So I want to just ask a closing question, which is, what would you share with other communities from the lessons that you've learned throughout this process?
The cool thing about having gone through this study is that already, not quite 2 years after, I've been in multiple conversations with other localities, some not even in the state of Virginia, who have been intrigued by our process and are trying to go about doing their own. And so I've had to think through what would be the takeaways. Don't have to use our exact approach, but the concept of having regional representation and a group of folks who will get into the weeds with you, and then a larger group that helps, you know, champion the work throughout the region was really critical for us. The power of good data, as you mentioned, not just the quantitative data, which was huge. We were able not just to use some of the regular census data that is out there, but we actually had leveraged a relationship with our local association of realtors, and we were able to get access to MLS data, which was wildly impactful for us to be able to look at what was really happening in our housing market. I think another really important role that we were able to play is to not just take the ownership of the process ourselves, to always be sort of co-convening with others so that from the get-go, we were establishing an ownership throughout the region. We hosted our meetings at partner organizations. We involved them in our process, and we called meetings together with other localities. And I think that that helps to establish not just trust, but a level of excitement from the very beginning.
I think that all of that's really excellent advice, especially for folks working in a regional capacity and building coalitions across multiple jurisdictions, and also with dealing with data collection at a number of different levels. So Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us today, and we look forward to continuing to hear more about your success in the future.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to this installment of the Richmond Feds Rural Spotlight Series. To learn more about this story and what's happening in other rural communities throughout the 5th District, visit richmondfed.org/topics/rural_spotlights. Talk to you next time.